This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Rich Moses on W2VU, and this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, September 11th, 2026. 25 years ago today, on September 11, 2001, the United States came under attack from Al-Qaeda terrorists who hijacked passenger planes and flew them into buildings in New York City and Washington, D.C., as well as a field in western Pennsylvania when passengers fought back. Communications infrastructure sagged under the weight of destruction in some places and overwhelming usage in others. Amateur radio operators answered the call, not only in New York and Washington, but around the country, with ARES and RACES teams going on alert to provide backup communications as needed. In New York City, amateurs took to the airwaves within minutes of the attacks on the World Trade Center, and emergency nets were active and busy for nearly 2 weeks afterward. Close to 500 hams in all responded to the calls for volunteers. In the Washington, D.C. area, more than 100 amateurs answered a call to support the Salvation Army's volunteer effort at the Pentagon. That net was active for a week after the attacks. Amateurs in western Pennsylvania also supported the Salvation Army, providing 3 linked repeaters for Saturn, the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network, to relay messages between the plane crash site and the regional Salvation Army headquarters in Pittsburgh. Amateur radio received high praise from emergency response officials, including Red Cross Communications Officer John McInnes, who told then-ARRL President Jim Haney, W5JBP, quote, "We wouldn't be where we are today without the ham radio operators," unquote. And Virginia Section Emergency Coordinator Tom Gregory, N4NW, noted that, quoting again, "Amateur radio performed exactly as it was supposed to. We responded to the need to provide communications where none were available." The Dayton Amateur Radio Association, which sponsors the Dayton Hamvention, has named Hazel Everett's N8PTL as General Chair of the 2027 Hamvention. She is the first woman to hold the top spot in Hamvention's 75-year history. Steve Keller, AE8AT, was appointed as Assistant General Chair, according to Hamvention spokesman Michael Coulter, W8CI. Everett has been a Hamvention volunteer since she was first licensed in 1989 and has served as Assistant General Chair for the past 2 years. Keller holds an amateur extra class license and is currently Senior Trustee on the Dayton Amateur Radio Association's Board of Directors. The 2027 Dayton Hamvention will be held on May 21st through 23rd at the Greene County Fairgrounds and Expo Center in Xenia, Ohio. It's likely there will always be debate over who is the father of radio, but there is very little doubt about its grandfather, Scottish physicist and mathematician James Clerk Maxwell. Maxwell's theory of electromagnetic radiation laid the foundation for all modern electronic communication techniques, yet the average person knows little or nothing about him. The community where he is buried hopes to change that, as does the James Clerk Maxwell Radio Society, MM0PMS. Maxwell died in 1879 and is buried at the Kirk, or church, in Parton, Scotland. The Church of Scotland is trying to consolidate its properties and has put Parton Kirk up for sale. The community has been given priority to purchase the building, but has a November 1st deadline to raise the roughly $95,000 needed to do so. According to James Clerk Maxwell Radio Society co-founder Richard Hopkins, MM1BHO, the town has what he calls an ambitious vision to preserve the Kirk and develop it as a James Clerk Maxwell Science and Community Center, celebrating his life and scientific legacy while providing a valuable facility for the local community. More information is available on the group's Facebook page or its MM0PMS page on QRZ.com. Competitive amateur radio direction finding, also known as ARDF or fox hunting, is difficult in its own right, but it gets even more challenging when you add in a forest fire near your course. This year's combined USA National and International Amateur Radio Union Region 2 ARDF Championship was held last month in the Mount Hood National Forest in Oregon, hosted by Mount Hood Orienteering. The original plans called for separate courses in different areas for each of the four events: sprint, foxoring, which mixes fox hunting with orienteering, 2-meter classic, and 80-meter classic. But those plans were disrupted by a forest fire, dubbed the Grasshopper Fire, that threatened two of the four areas planned for competition. Less than a week before the competitors started arriving, organizers got permission from the U.S. Forest Service to consolidate all four courses in a single area, the Skyline Snow Park. ARRL ARDF coordinator Charles Charlow, NZ0I, and Dale Hunt, WB6BYU, were co-directors and course designers. Charlow explained that the courses designed for other terrain had to be replaced, and that the changes meant repeated use of the same general terrain and courses that were often shorter than the target lengths normally specified in the rules. The fire was still burning when the competition began. Fortunately, said Charlow, wildfire and smoke conditions improved enough for the championships to proceed on schedule. Additional details, including a list of category winners, are in this week's ARRL letter. Educator Everton Enriquez, KD2ZZT, shared his experience using amateur radio to inspire students and bring engineering and technology to life in the classroom during his keynote address at the 2026 ARRL New England Division Convention on August 15th. Everton is an engineering and technology teacher at Staten Island Technical High School in New York City. He has also participated in the ARRL Teachers Institute on Wireless Technology, a donor-funded professional development program he describes as, quote, amazing week-long immersions in electronics, wireless technology, remote sensing, amateur radio, and curriculum development. In his presentation, Enriquez describes how a high-altitude balloon project led to amateur radio, a student radio club, and an expanding program incorporating antenna building, transmitter hunting, robotics, solar power, mesh networking, HF communications, and more. His students have earned amateur radio licenses and applied their skills to robotics competitions, underwater ROVs, or remotely operated vehicles, emergency communications, and a solar car that went on to earn awards in competition. A video recording of Enriquez's talk is available on ARRL's YouTube channel. Additional details are in this week's ARRL letter. The following America 250 W1AW portable activations begin at 0000 UTC on Wednesdays and end at 2359 UTC on Tuesdays. That's 7 days total for each activation. Starting September 16th, W1AW Portable 1 in New Hampshire, hosted by KC1WNM, will be on the air. Also the week starting September 16th, W1AW Portable 9 in Illinois, hosted by W9KXQ, and W1AW Portable 4 in Tennessee, hosted by W4CMG. On the week starting September 23rd, W1AW Portable 1 will be active from Vermont, hosted by W1SJ. See the complete schedule at www.arrl.org/America250-WAS. Some news in brief. Students at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University's campus in Prescott, Arizona, promoted the university's amateur radio club, N7ERU, during the student organization fair on September 3rd. According to Rachel Jones, KO4HLC, an ARRL Teachers Institute graduate and an assistant professor at Embry-Riddle, students this year, quote, are breathing new life into N7ERU, bringing amateur radio back to campus and growing a new generation of radio enthusiasts. Are you looking for a chance to work ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR, on the radio and get some Island DX credit at the same time? The Daily DX reports that Rick will be operating from a beach in Providenciales, IOTA's NA002, in Turks and Caicos, through September 17th. He'll be on 40, 30, 20, and 10 meters, and possibly 80 and 160, operating mainly on CW and FT8. QSLing is via logbook of the world only. Special event station VO1911G in Newfoundland will be on the air today, September 11th. Air travel in the U.S. was shut down immediately after the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001, and 38 aircraft already in flight were diverted to Gander, Newfoundland, where the local population accommodated nearly 7,000 passengers for several days. The Daily DX reports that ARCON, the Amateur Radio Club of Newfoundland Central, is commemorating the helping hands offered 25 years ago by operating VO1911G on September 11th, 2026. That's prefix VO1 for Newfoundland, 911 for 911, and G for Gander. Longtime radio amateur Rankin Armstrong Army Curtis Jr., AE5P, has become a silent key. Curtis, of Nacogdoches, Texas, died August 16, 2026, at age 85. An ARRL Life member, he served as an assistant section manager in the ARRL North Texas section, participated in contests, provided emergency communications, and operated phone patches for offshore naval personnel and their families. He was also an electrical engineer with expertise in electrical power distribution and antenna design, and was a longtime member of the Nacogdoches Amateur Radio Club. A link to his obituary is in this week's ARRL letter. And now with this week's AMSAT report, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO. Bruce?
Thanks, Rich. Just a quick reminder for those that are in the Jacksonville, Florida area or traveling there. The 44th AMSAT Space Symposium will be held in just a few weeks, October 8th through the 11th. It is always a great time to make an eyeball CUSO with those you work on the satellites and learn about what is happening with the engineers and current projects. Also, if you're in the area and need to have some QSL cards checked for your ARRL Worked All States, ARRL VUCC, or ARRL DXCC, I would be happy to check those cards for you. Have your paperwork ready. You do not have to register to attend to have your cards checked. Look for me Thursday after the Board of Directors meeting, Friday or Saturday. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO. Back to you, Rich.
Thanks, Bruce. Here's a look at this week's ARRL Solar Report. Solar flare activity was at low levels in the past week with isolated C-class flare activity, according to NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center. The largest flare of the period was a C3.4 on September 8th from otherwise stable region 4528. There is a slight chance for M-class flares through today. Solar wind parameters have been at or close to nominal levels, but a positive polarity coronal hole high-speed stream was likely to arrive today, bringing a mildly disturbed solar wind environment. The Australian Space Weather Forecasting Center predicted that degraded HF propagation conditions on September 9th would begin to clear up on the 10th and 11th, leading to normal or normal to fair HF propagation through all latitudes as we approach equinoctial propagation conditions. Predicted 10.7 centimeter radio flux for the coming week is in the 102 to 108 range, with most days at 105. Additional details can be found in this week's ARRL letter. Just ahead in radio sport, the contesting season is starting to heat up, and we've got plenty on the calendar for the next two weekends. We'll start out with today, September 11th, the K1USN SST Open. That's a CW event. Tomorrow, September 12th, is the Ohio State Parks on the Air. That's CW and phone. and the North American CW Sprint is on Sunday the 13th. Looking across the whole weekend, the 12th and 13th, we have the WAEDX contest, SSB weekend, phone, the CNET contest, which is both CW and phone, the SKCC weekend Sprintathon, which is CW, the New Jersey QSO party, and the Colorado QSO party, both of which are CW phone and digital. The ARRL September VHF contest runs from the 12th through the 14th, and that's CW phone and digital. Also on the 13th is the Four States QRP Group second Sunday Sprint, that's CW and phone. Looking ahead to September 17th, we have the VHF UHF FT8 activity contest for North America, that's digital. Also on the 17th is the NAQCC CW Sprint, obviously CW, and the BCC QSO party, which is CW phone and digital. September 17th and 18th is the CW Walk for the Bacon QRP contest. Then on the weekend of September 19th and 20th, we have the ARRL 10 GHz and up contest, CW phone and digital. The Scandinavian Activity Contest, CW. The Iowa QSO party and the Texas QSO party, both CW phone and digital. The New Hampshire QSO party, also CW phone and digital. And the Washington State Salmon Run, CW and phone. We also have QRP Afield on the 19th, CW phone and digital. And Wisconsin Parks on the Air, also CW phone and digital, along with the digital-only Feld Hell Sprint. On September 20th, we have the Reedy version of the North American Sprint, also digital, and the Bartig Sprint PSK 63 contest, digital as well. In CW, on the 20th, we have the ARS Flight of the Bumblebees contest, and September 20th and 21st, the Run for the Bacon QRP contest, also CW. Remember to visit the ARRL contest calendar for more events and information. Here's a look at upcoming ARRL section, state, and division conventions over the next 60 days. On September 26th, we have the Red River Radio Amateurs Hamfest hosting the ARRL Minnesota State Convention in Moorhead, Minnesota. There are three events on October 3rd, the third annual Micro Expo hosting the ARRL Santa Barbara Section Convention in Camarillo, California, the Wichita Area Hamfest hosting the ARRL Kansas Section Convention in Wichita, Kansas, and the Rock Hill Hamfest hosting the ARRL South Carolina Section Convention in Rock Hill, South Carolina. On October 9th and 10th, we have SparkCon 2026 hosting the ARRL Midwest Division Convention in Sedalia, Missouri. And on October 10th, we have the North Star Radio Convention hosting the ARRL Dakota Division Convention in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Two Hamfests on October 11th, the Nutmeg Hamfest hosting the ARRL Connecticut State Convention in Meriden, Connecticut, and Hamfest hosting the ARRL Southern New Jersey Section Convention in Mullica Hill, New Jersey. October 16th through 18th features Pacificon hosting the ARRL Pacific Division Convention in San Ramon, California. October 24th is the ARRL Day in the Park hosting the ARRL Mississippi Section Convention in Ridgeland, Mississippi. On October 30th and 31st, we have the Stone Mountain Hamfest hosting the ARRL Georgia State Convention in Lawrenceville, Georgia. And on November 7th, the Superstition Amateur Radio Club Superfest will host the ARRL Arizona State Convention in Mesa, Arizona. Search the ARRL Hamfest and Convention database at www.arrl.org/hamfests to find events in your area. That's it for this week's edition of ARRL Audio News. Thanks for listening, and 73.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.